One of the Lehigh Valley's brightest cultural gems is the Williams Center for the Arts at Lafayette College in Easton. From its beautiful location atop College Hill, the center is home to the popular performance series as well as the Williams Center Gallery, which offers its own rich program of exhibitions, films, lectures, workshops, and the Kirby Arts Study Center, as well as the music and art history departments. And for over 40 years, the performance series at the center has presented world-renowned chamber and jazz musicians, cutting-edge dance and theater companies, the National Theater Live and Great Art on Screen film series, and performers from every corner of the globe in the center's intimate 400-seat theater, as well as in the Valley community itself now with its Beyond the Stage programming. And with the vibrant, exciting, and eclectic lineup for the 2025-26 performance series, the Williams Center has once again invited audiences to embark on a unique journey of discovery, exploring and cultivating new connections through the shared experience of the arts. This is WDIY 88.1 Lehigh Valley Public Radio, and you are tuned in to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I remain Kate Scuffle, your host. And this evening, I'm talking with Ty Furman, director of the Williams Center for the Arts at Lafayette College, about the performers and the performances lighting up the Williams Center stage in the coming months. So welcome, Ty.
Thank you so much, Kate. And hello, everyone out there at WDIY. It's so good to be back. It's great to have this opportunity to talk with you. I really enjoy these conversations.
Same here. And it looks like, I mean, you're halfway through, it looks like a really enviably exciting season. We'll come back to the faculty series, but if we look at the performance series, you've got quite a bit to go before the end of the year.
It ended up the way scheduling worked this year. We have quite a few more performances from February through April than we did in the fall, for a variety of reasons, as you know, scheduling.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because it feels like, this is me from outside looking at the programming, it is such a wonderful balance of music, theater, dance, etc. But each performer or act or company or artist seems to be, if these are vocalists, they're treating vocal music really differently. If it's drummers, they're drummers with an edge and not completely simply traditional. So everything seems to be about, like for me coming in to a performance, having my sense of expectations kind of surprised and enlarged, and just that kind of joy of discovering something I didn't know I was going to love.
That's wonderful to hear. I really appreciate that perspective, and you're noticing that. Thank you.
Well, for instance, if we all survive the upcoming snowstorm, the next thing coming up will be Roomful of Teeth.
Yeah.
Tell us about this. This is really interesting.
Yeah, it is literally one of the world's most talked about vocal ensembles. They've won multiple Grammys. If I have my numbers correct, I think it's an 8-person ensemble. Okay. And they really are looking at what can we do with the human voice. So it's innovative, it's creative. One can only look at their press photos to notice on our webpage and in our brochure that they also clearly enjoy working together and singing together and creating art together. Their press photos are very dramatic and fun. And so it's exciting to have them. And this was one where we worked really closely with our music department. So I had reached out to our head of music, Jennifer Kelly, prior to planning last season and said, hey, I didn't have anything really vocally focused in my prior season. Is there anyone you really like that you would like me to look at? And literally the first name she threw out was Roomful of Teeth, and I had happened to already be in touch with their agent. So we're really thrilled to have them here because it is not a traditional choir experience.
That's so interesting. That will be for our listeners February 7th. That's at 8 p.m. It's one performance. And as we move through, I'll remind our listeners that, of course, all of this is on the website with, yes, lots of info, photos, videos, everything you need to see and know. They do look both joyous and fascinating. So that's February 7th. And continuing with music, we move on to February 12th with Alias Brass, who I'm not familiar with.
Alias Brass, yeah.
Alias, they, okay.
Yeah, again, it is an ensemble that, this is one where I just build relationships with agents and I look at what can we do that we haven't done recently. And I sort of look past at the different ensembles and quartets and quintets that we've had. And we haven't had a brass ensemble for some time. And a lot of people really love brass. It has such a great sound. It has things that remind you of jazz and marching band, if you were one of those kids, like it brings up a lot of sense memory, I think. And again, these folks have made it really clear to us they love working together. And they have, in fact, they asked us, they said, we have this really fun skit that we can do during the performances. Do you think your audience would love that? And I was like, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if we can't enjoy the experience of music and art, we're doing something wrong. So, yeah, they were excited to have them here and just have people, have that big sound of brass.
And in the middle of February, welcome energy.
Exactly, right?
Also in February, kind of a different angle or perspective on what gets offered as part of the series. Great Art on Screen, which is not the same as the National Theater on Screen, but the Great Art on Screen, Lotto and Berenson Cross Destinies. I think it's really interesting that it's a film that speaks again to our experience of art. Can you tell us a little, the rediscovery of a Renaissance master, the intertwined journeys of Lorenzo Lotto, forgotten Renaissance master, and Bernard Berenson, the American Jewish art critic who resurrected his legacy. So when you're choosing something like this, what spoke to you about this piece?
I think I do, again, sort of in reference to working with the music department, I do actually speak to our art history faculty when we're planning, and our visual arts faculty when we're planning these things to say what might connect with a particular course. So there's always that part of it. We are a college, so what might we be able to connect to, the academic context? But also, I have an affinity for, and our audiences, and you may have begun to notice this, for the adventurous, but also for the less known, the maybe passed over, the, so a story like that is compelling to me. What was happening in history at the time or in the decades after that this artist wasn't as prominent as they may be now, and what was the tipping point that somebody said, oh, we really should pay attention to who this person was and the work that they've done. So I personally love those stories, and I think they bring something in addition to just a standard, like, talking head speaking about Da Vinci or Michelangelo, those kind of folks. Lovely, amazing artists, but there's a different story there. And so I really appreciate that. So that was one we went with. Yeah.
And that's February 15th. That's at 7 o'clock. And then coming up on February 21st, this is really interesting. Christopher Morgan, an artist, native intelligence slash innate intelligence. It feels like it would be doing a disservice to only describe them as a dance company.
Yes, you are accurate. Yeah. I met Christopher a couple of years ago at a conference, and it was one of those things where you just click. Like, we had great conversations about art, about dance, about the world, about identity, about community. And his Hawaiian identity is so crucial to the work that he's done over his entire career, because he's curated, he's choreographed, he's done a lot of things, and he collaborates with other artists in an amazing way. So this is the second of what he intends to be a trio of pieces. And so it's multimedia, largely dance and Hawaiian chant, but some contemporary music. And just really an exploration of humanity, of community and identity. And there's some really, I appreciate you mentioning the Beyond the Stage, because this is one in particular where we have an opportunity that we're really excited about. Part of what Christopher does with this performance, there is a giant Hawaiian lei that is on stage during the performance. And through the times that they have performed this, they do this workshop at every location. community members can make a small lei that they can take home with them. But then he shifts the conversation to talk about share who you are, what's your heritage, what's your history, what's your family, how do you think about yourself, how do you think about identity as you make other pieces. That then, those additional pieces are incorporated into the giant lei on the stage for the performance. So every performance that's done brings people's stories from the prior performances and includes the community that they're at. And so we're thrilled to be partnering with Easton Public Library and Nurture Nature Center to host a community workshop where people can come out. Now, it's on the Easton Public Library's website. The reservation doesn't go live till tomorrow morning. And he is bringing materials from Hawaii. So they are really authentic materials that he's using. And so it's an exciting way to sort of, again, really feel part of what's happening on stage, that you know that your story is woven, literally woven into the fabric of that performance. And as you can see, I could talk about this forever because this is the kind of thing that excites me when an artist is thinking very intentionally about what they want to share with and bring to a community.
And creating community with the work.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
That's gorgeous. We are sadly coming up, or well, not sadly, coming up on a break quickly, and we'll be right back. You all are listening to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon here on WDIY 88.1. I'm your host, Kate Scuffo. Tonight I'm talking with Ty Furman, director of the Williams Center for the Arts at Lafayette College, about what's coming up on stage as part of the center's renowned performance series. And we'll be right back after this short break.
Tune up your week with a great variety of jazz music on WDIY. Monday through Friday nights from 9 to 11 offers many choices from the world of jazz, featuring traditional to modern styles, plus swing Sunday at 5 p.m. and improvisational jazz on the bridge Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Listen for new releases, interviews with artists, and information on upcoming performances right here on WDIY.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon right here on WDIY 88.1, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm your host, Kate Scuffle, and I've been talking with Ty Furman, director of the Williams Center for the Arts at Lafayette College, about the vibrant and exciting 2025-26 performance series that's going on right now. And just back from break, the next project coming up, now this has particular significance for the university as well, doesn't it, Ty?
Yeah, absolutely. This is... It's a passion project of an alum. We are currently in the midst of celebrating our 200th anniversary as a college. The celebration runs through November of this year. It's 2026 now. And we began working on this well over a year ago, but it is a brand new world premiere play about our first Black alum, mm-hmm. who also happened to be the first Black eye doctor in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And he was sent here with his quote-unquote brother. This is Washington and David McDonough. The slave owner was named McDonough. They were both sent here while enslaved. And there's a whole story about the colonization society that McDonough, the owner, was part of and what he intended for these two young men. But yeah, it's set in the 1830s and 1840s. And we're honoring and celebrating David McDonough, our first Black alum. It is a world premiere. It is currently rehearsing in New York. The designers are all local. Yeah, it's going to be really an exciting evening.
And for our listeners, that's at the end of February, February 28th. Just the one performance?
Yes, just one performance. Yep. So get your tickets now.
We move on to March with... a film, National Theater Live, with Dr. Strangelove, which ironically a really interesting film to screen at this time. And that's March 1st at 7 p.m. at the theater. And of course, this is the classic, pretty classic. Well, actually, it's not the film, it's the theater production.
Yeah, it's the theater production of it. There are it's a smaller cast, so people play multiple characters. But it's, you know, as everything that National Theater Live does, it's just unbelievable quality and storytelling. So, yeah.
And it stars Steve Coogan. Moving on to March 7th. Now, correct my pronunciation, the Tycho Project?
Tycho Project, yep, you got it, yep.
Okay, this is really interesting. This, again, you have this twist on a style of drumming and yet with a fresh or kind of very contemporary twist to it, if I'm right.
Yes, yes. So these are what you would sort of call the next generation of Tycho performers. They're from the U.S. Many have studied with the masters. They are younger. They put their own spin on it. They were on America's Got Talent. They've done television commercials. And so, you know, it's a vibrancy. I mean, Tycho is amazing. The masters, the next generation, whatever. It's just a super sort of physical response. Okay. I mean, the drumming, yeah, like you feel it. There's a word that's not coming to my old brain right now, but
that's fine.
So you all out there in WDII DIY land know what I'm talking about.
Well, and I would encourage our listeners, again, there's so much going on. We can't go through the kind of additional programming for each piece, but beyond the stage component of this performance, for instance, will be a pre-performance lecture demo, which would be fascinating, preceding the performance on stage. So, the beyond the stage programming is a mix of things. Like some of it's pre-show, some of it's working with students, some of it's projects with the community. I just want to make sure our listeners make sure they check that out for each performance.
Yeah.
And then March 27th, Jane Bonnett.
Jane Bonnett, yep.
Grammy nominated Latin jazz all-female powerhouse group.
Yep. Yeah. Jane Bonnett and Makeke.
Uh-huh.
So Jane has been this force in Canadian jazz and music, and has turned her sights to, I think in the last decade or more, really Cuban jazz and bringing these other five women, all Afro-Cuban artists, together to play and explore Cuban jazz. And so their sound is amazing. You know, she is a Juno Award winner. They're Grammy nominated. Mm-hmm. So, you know, once again, we strive for the best of the best, and it should be a lot of fun. And she and potentially other members of the group, again, with the Beyond the Stage, will be doing a little talk on Cuban Music 101 earlier in the day that day. So lots of opportunity to engage with Jane and the members of Makeke.
And that's March 27th, end of the month. Then we move into April with the Paul Taylor Dance Company's back on April 3rd. And these guys' Iconic was created for the Paul Taylor Dance Company. They're 1954 was the founding of the company, I believe.
I think you are correct. Yeah. It is, I mean, literally one of the most celebrated contemporary dance companies in the world, in the U.S. in particular. And there's some really classic pieces that they just passed the anniversary of. Oh, my brain. I should have had this written down. There's a classic piece that they just passed, I think, the 50th anniversary that they're going to perform during this event. So really, you know, wonderful, wonderful artists again.
So they'll be here on April 3rd. Mm-hmm. And then on April 11th, back to music with pesky and arts and tech artist Perara Elsewhere.
Yeah, this is really exciting for us, too. We had a 3-year grant for arts and technology.
Okay.
And then we have our regular pesky artist in residence with music. And so we're combining those resources to bring in a German artist, goes by Pereira Elsewhere. Mm. Her name is Sasha Pereira. She is a DJ, techno musician, producer, performer, collaborator, and educator. So it's very different from what we've done, but this is the end of our arts and tech grant. And so this is part of our celebration of how we've explored arts and technology at the college. And we're really excited because it's going to bring hopefully a whole new set of folks who want to come in and listen. It's a whole week of programming that we're still in the midst of planning. We're hoping to do a DJ set where she sort of teaches people and also have them join together. A bunch of conversations on technology and music and production. And so we'll have a number of opportunities for the community to connect with Sasha as well that week.
All right. And that's the week of April 11th, folks. Again, stay tuned to the website and social media to see what's going to develop during that week, festival of sorts. And that'll bring us up to April 19th with the Strings of Hope. Very compelling, beautiful idea here. If you could tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, we're excited to bring this. This is a special event. This is technically not a part of the series, but we are producing it. It was brought to us, you know, later in the game to put it in the full series. It's also a lower ticket price. It's a $20 ticket price. But this is the first time in the world that two violins, one that survived the Holocaust and one that survived the Hiroshima bombing, are being brought together. They've been refurbished and they're being played by virtuosic players. And there's it is also a multimedia event. So there's film clips, there's stories about what they know about the violins and who played them. It's really a celebration of hope and endurance through just unbelievable tragedy. So we're thrilled to bring this to our community and share that experience.
And for our listeners, that's an afternoon event on April 19th at 3 p.m. And then April 22nd, we wrap up the series with the Isidore String Quartet.
Yes, we had a terrible, terrible tragedy in the fall. Isidore was supposed to play here in the fall, and we lost power for a full that full day, and it was not even during a storm. We just lost power. And so we've had to reschedule them, so we're bringing them back in April. We're so pleased that they and their agents worked with us to get them back in, you know, during this season, a string quartet. But they are 2022 Banff International String Quartet winners, and that is the penultimate string quartet award that one can get. And so they have been coming together and playing since just before that. And again, it's a slightly younger ensemble, but playing at the top of their class and skill set. So we're excited to have them.
Another group of musicians who, when I look at the website, look at the images, yes, younger and diverse and clearly delighted to perform together. Really lovely.
Yeah. Energy. Yeah. Yeah, if I remember correctly, they were all studying together. And in fact, I think they entered the competition while they were still in graduate school.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, yeah, they, you know, as they say, went out and killed it.
So that's April 22nd. That'll be 7:30. Unfortunately, we've only got a moment or two left. We have moved through the series quickly. There's also a faculty series, Free to the Community, with performances on January 31st and February 1st. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. We're excited. Dan Wilkins has his jazz set on the 31st at 8 o'clock, and then Kirk O'Riordan and Holly Rodfelt on the 1st at 3 p.m. And the wonderful thing about these is these are obviously accomplished musicians, but our community can come and enjoy them for free. So while we ask people to reserve tickets, there is no ticket fee for these faculty performances. And so we encourage people to come out and join us and you know, take a little break and enjoy some quality music.
Which brings us around to, we've only got a moment left, sadly. We were talking before airing about the idea of not only live performance right now, post-COVID and in a very divided world in many ways right now, but it's not just live performance, it's the liveness of us in the audience, you call community rather than patrons. Could you just share your thoughts on that quickly, and then we'll need to go?
Yeah, it very quickly became clear to me that we, you know, and I think everybody wants to believe this, but I feel this truly, we are not just a presenting center. We are a community of artists and art lovers who want to connect, who come out, and some of them come from a long ways away, depending on the artist that we bring, to connect with other people who love that genre or love that artist, and to have an experience that is community-based. You know, and there's all kinds of research that tells us that these community experiences with art and music are so beneficial to our mental health and our physiological and physical health. I mean, what better time to feel joy and connectedness than sitting in a room enjoying just the best of the best in the arts?
Thank you, Ty. And thank you for the work that you do at the Williams Center at Lafayette and that the university does and brings to us as a community.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
And thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us tonight. in community. I've been your host, Kate Scuffle, here on WDIY 88.1 FM, Lehigh Valley Public Radio, and I look forward to visiting with you again soon, right here in the Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. Lehigh Valley Arts Salon is supported by the Dexter F. and Dorothy H. Baker Foundation, who believes lives are enriched through a vibrant and enduring arts community, and invites you to join them in supporting the arts.